This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. It is 6:07 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin and Sharmila Ganesan. Tonight, our focus is on Malaysia and China and our, I'm quoting here, big brother relationship.
So first, we set the remark in context by looking at relations between Malaysia and China and how that's shifted over the years. Dr. Mustafa Izzuddin, Senior International Affairs Analyst from Solaris Strategy Singapore, will be joining us for that.
After the news, then, we'll be discussing how this might affect our relationships with other nations, with Bun Negara from ISIS. This is Inside Story. And that brings us to 6:08. And let's just address this because earlier, you know, we talked about Malaysia and China, Big Brother, and this is coming from a very specific comment in a very specific context. So our foreign minister, Dato Sri Hishamuddin Hussein, recently visited China. It was part of China's efforts to reach out to ASEAN in terms of resolving the ongoing political crisis in Myanmar. And there was a press conference, as there tends to be after these visits or during these visits, that took place last Thursday. And the minister was reported to have told China's foreign minister, his counterpart, Wang Yi, that China and Malaysia are brothers and that, in fact, China would always be Malaysia's elder brother.
Yes, so this was met with no small amount of criticism and joking and basically also the serious contention that what kind of position does this put us in terms of our relationship with China, right? Given that China has a very specific image when it comes to international relations. After that, Hishamuddin did contextualize and explain his remark. He said that when he said big brother, he wasn't referring to bilateral relations, that it was said in a sort of like jovial context. He said he used the term because Wang Yi is older to him. He's more senior to him as a foreign minister. And so therefore, and I'm quoting here, he says, being respectful does not signify weakness. Essentially, he was saying that he was referring to his personal relationship with Wang Yi versus Malaysia's relationship to China on an international stage.
Yeah, and why he had to respond like that, aside from the general sense of, like you said, jokes, some discontent, some criticism, is that the opposition have, of course, you know, leapt into action and provided some feedback on this. For example, opposition leader Anwar Ibrahim said that the statement is an insult to our non-aligned position and that efforts should be made to improve trade and investment cooperation. But this sort of language is inappropriate when it comes to international diplomacy and that it makes Malaysia, I'm quoting, look like a foreign puppet.
So this is interesting because of our relationship with China, right? On the one hand, China is Malaysia's largest trade partner, but those relationships have been tested over the years. And we've had several incidences in particular where there's been some strain. So, for instance, the encroachment of China into Sarawak waters, and the fact that China doesn't recognize the exclusive economic zone that defines our national international maritime borders, and that it claims most of South China Sea as its own. This is just one of those things where this whole idea of a country being our big brother could feel quite problematic.
Yes, and also I think we can't look at it in isolation, right? So you would have to look or set into context Malaysia's relationship to China in relation to how China deals with individual ASEAN nations, for example, and the different sorts of negotiations that take place in those spaces, and also how, you know, as smaller countries, we are always somewhat hedging our bets, right? In terms of who we specifically want to... No, that's not fair. I was going to say who we want to be more friendly with, but that's not fair. I think, you know, in trying to maintain friendly relations in general with the big superpowers, so with China, with the United States. And so I think the worry here is when you make a statement like this, what does that say? I do, however, also think it's important to set it in a political context. And I wonder how much of this is a storm in a teacup.
Yeah, I mean, I think given that a lot of the given the discontent that a lot of people already have with the current government, it might feel like someone like Hishamuddin is an easy lightning rod to capture a lot of that. And, you know, these kinds of statements are easy to kind of turn into a meme or a joke or a tweet and so share and so on. You know, but if you do look at this idea of diplomatic protocol or diplomacy as well, right? Kapong MP Lim Lip Eng, for instance, said that this Big Brother remark was a breach in diplomatic protocol, that the excuse that it was a personal address doesn't fly because it's happening in an official diplomatic ceremony. And I want to refer also to what you said about this idea of China in relation to what it stands for, or other countries and our relationships to them. And, you know, things like China's human rights record is something that kept being brought up in this context, because saying something like Big Brother then aligns us ourselves to the country in a very particular way. I'm not sure. I really thought it was a storm in a teacup as well. But the more I think about it, it might be a faux pas, but I also wonder whether it signals something more.
And so that's what we're going to be getting into after this, specifically looking at what this latest statement says in terms of our relationship with China, also by looking at the shifts and the rises and falls of that relationship over the last few years, over the last decade, essentially. And we'd like to know, what are your thoughts on the statement made by, or the comment made rather, by our Foreign Minister Datuk Sri Hishamuddin Hussein in China, that China would always be Malaysia's elder brother. You know, do you think it's a storm in a teacup? Do you think that it is a huge faux pas? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking very shortly with Dr. Mustafa Izzuddin, Senior International Affairs Analyst at Solaris Strategy Singapore. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 6:16 and you're listening to Insight Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about Malaysia and China's relationship, especially in the context of our foreign minister recently referring to China, or his counterpart in the Foreign Affairs Ministry in China, as our elder brother. That has subsequently caused a whole storm of feedback to come his way. And we're asking today essentially where this places us in terms of our relationship. So if you'd like to weigh in, whether or not you think that this is in fact a huge faux pas, whether you think this is a political storm in a teacup, essentially, you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Dr. Mustafa Izzuddin, Senior International Affairs Analyst at Solaris Strategies Singapore, as well as a visiting professor of international relations at the Islamic University of Indonesia. Dr. Mustafa, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
So could you help us unpack the controversy around the Big Brother remark and what you make of the reaction it's received?
It's certainly a political storm in a teacup. I think we got to see, you know, we got to so pay close attention to what was said. And I think the foreign minister has come out to clarify his remark and said that he was actually referring to the individual rather than to the country. And that makes a huge difference in foreign policy. If you're referring to a country as an elder brother, yes, that gives the impression that you are subordinate. But if you are referring to someone who's older than you, and you know someone that you have a close chemistry with, I think that's a good thing for foreign relations. So I think it's certainly a political term in a teacup, and I think it will, you know, with time, I think people will forget about what was said.
What can you tell us about Malaysia's relationship with China, both diplomatically and economically?
No, I think it's comprehensive. I think Malaysia-China relations have come a long way since it was normalized in 1974, and I think throughout the years, a lot of headway has been made in economic terms, in cultural terms, in strategic terms. And I think Malaysia has also been at the forefront in getting China to be more engaged in the region through the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN. So I think the relationship is one of a matured partnership between Malaysia and China. Of course, with its occasional bumps on the roads, the occasional twist and turns that would be expected of bilateral relations. But by and large, I think the main thrust of the relationship are sound, the main fundamentals are sound. And it's certainly an example worthy of emulation of how bilateral relationships should be handled.
So in that case, with that being the backdrop, could you contextualize this elder brother remark? Where would it fall? You know, why has it caused this kind of outcry?
I think it's got the outcry because there has been tension, of course, the occasional tension between Malaysia and China. One, of course, that China is a claimant in the South China Sea. And number two is that China has shown to display assertive behavior in the South China Sea as well. So China flexing its muscles, obviously, is a cause for concern of smaller countries and countries in Southeast Asia. That's one. Second, I think there continues to be an anti-China sentiment within Malaysia. And of course, this concern that China may be eating into the sovereignty of Malaysia by doing too much economics or giving too much loans and doing investments in Malaysia. There's always that recurring perception of China being this much larger country and Malaysia being a smaller country in Southeast Asia. So because of that, I think the elder brother remark may have come across as Malaysia being seen as subordinate or even a puppet to China, a satellite country to China. So I think that sort of perception may have gleaned out of this remark. Like I said, I think, as has been clarified by the foreign minister, I think that must also be taken into account. That in fact, he was referring to the individual rather than to the country. And that makes a huge amount of difference when we look at bilateral relations.
I would like to look a little bit more closely at the anti-China sentiment within Malaysia, because I think sometimes that can be quite complicated. You do see feedback in that area. You do see people expressing that discomfort, which I think many of our ASEAN neighbours also share. On the other hand, you have many parties also welcoming the investment, welcoming the sort of influence that China, that flexing that you're talking about from China. How can we kind of contextualise that on the ground in Malaysia?
No, I think it is to be expected there would be anti-China sentiments, given that the history of Malaysia-China relations, going all the way back to, we had communism, you had the overseas China policy, and you still have the South China Sea as a regional flashpoint. So that, I think, will continue to remain on the ground. And of course, the ethnic politics in Malaysia, particularly between the Malays and the Chinese, that's also something that China is dragged into that sort of conflict, although it is sometimes, not right. I mean, it is not part of how you would look at the ethnic sort of relations in Malaysia. But China is brought into the equation to strengthen any sort of sentiment that could exist within Malaysia among the Malaysian Chinese, somewhat controversial. So when China does the sort of loans and investments in Malaysia, there's always that sentiment that maybe China is trying to buy Malaysia's sovereignty, or that Malaysia's sovereignty will be sold to China. So that lingering perception, I think, is what causes people to be cautious, and rightfully so. So I think you've got to look at domestic politics. You also have got to look at China's interests in the region and what China's interests are when it comes to managing its relations with Malaysia in economic terms. So it's quite complex, quite complicated. But I think, when it comes to foreign policy and bilateral relations, they're always complicated. But you try and make sense of that complication and you try and keep the bilateral relations on an even keel.
So in the last decade or so, and as we've just been discussing, there has been pushback in terms of our economic relationships with China. We've seen the falling through of deals such as the ECRL. How does this affect our ties with China?
I think Malaysia's ties with China, I think when it comes to cancellation of projects, that would definitely have an impact. There will be a trust deficit as well. But I think every Malaysia and China would be looking at their own national interests first and foremost. And I think in the case of Malaysia is, if I want to manage, if I want to engage China, can I? Is there domestic benefit there? And I think if there is, then of course there are economic agreements that are then being signed. So yes, I think if countries sign an agreement, they have to honor it. And I think you need to build up political trust. So right now, I think the foreign minister visiting China, I think it's very timely, and I think it does signal to China that Malaysia-China relations are still a very important bilateral relationship. And of course, the meeting there also involves a regional issue, and in particular, what's happening in Myanmar. And there has been discussion. Malaysia has been vocal about this topic as well. So I think it's about what's happening in one of the countries in the region, that's Myanmar. But also, I think that meeting is also to reaffirm the close bilateral relations between Malaysia and China, and also to talk about the differences that may exist. But I think at the end of the day, Malaysia-China relations, the one that underpins the relationship is still business and trade. So economics, I think, will remain the mainstay in Malaysia-China relations.
There has been some pressure in recent times for Malaysia to speak out on human rights issues related to China, including, for example, what has happened in Xinjiang. How do you read our reluctance to weigh in on these matters?
I think it's prudent to stay clear of an issue like this, not because what's happening in Xinjiang is not a cause for concern, but rather I think countries would weigh what is in their national interest. And I think in the case of Malaysia, they will be weighing the economic relations with China and whether they would like to speak out on this issue. That's one. Second, of course, China sees the issue in Xinjiang to be an internal matter, a domestic matter, and it would expect countries not to interfere in its internal matter, just as other countries would expect China not to interfere in their internal matters. So I think that's why countries generally have stayed clear of criticizing China in public. But in closed doors, in forum meetings, there's always that possibility that leaders would bring up the issue and behind closed doors try and find a resolution to what's going on in Xinjiang. So although in public, they may not be openly be critical about it, but in closed doors, in four-eyed meetings, bilateral meetings, yes, I mean, such an issue may well be brought up and they would have a discussion on it. But beyond the government, I mean, there are other officials such as someone, Anwar Ibrahim has spoken on what's happening in to the Uyghurs in Xinjiang. So it's more on individuals rather than a government policy.
So how has the pandemic shifted or changed our relationship with China?
I think not just Malaysia, I think China has had to mend its reputation after the, with the pandemic breaking out and with the COVID-19 rising, the number of COVID cases rising. So it has had to mend its image, its reputation. And I think the onus was more on China than the countries in the region. And I think the countries in the region, looking at how China, first of all, tried to keep COVID-19 under wraps within its country, and then going out of the country to serve as a good international citizen, and trying to do it through what some have described as mass diplomacy, to try to help other countries who are also fighting the pandemic. So I think that would go down well. But I think the pandemic on its own, it has stopped tourist travel, and Malaysia does rely on quite a number of Chinese from China traveling to Malaysia. So that definitely has taken a hit. There are BRI projects that have also stalled. So those need to be revived as soon as possible. So pandemic has definitely had an impact on the economy. I don't think it has had an impact on the trust that exists between Malaysia and China. I think China's what China has done after the pandemic has become a big issue, I think that has gone down well with countries in Southeast Asia, including Malaysia.
Dr. Mustafa, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
That was Dr. Mustafa Izzuddin, Senior International Affairs Analyst at Solaris Strategy Singapore and Visiting Professor of International Relations at the Islamic University of Indonesia, giving us some context, really, for this comment from our foreign minister towards China in terms of where we stand in terms of the relationship between our two countries. After this, we are going to be discussing how this affects our relationship with other people. If you would like to weigh in, call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:38 and you are listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. As a reminder, this is what we're talking about today. Big Brother. Or a comment that was made by Foreign Minister Datuk Sri Hishamuddin Hussein on his recent visit to China, in which he was reported to have told China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi that China and Malaysia are brothers and that China would always be Malaysia's elder brother. For clarification, That was what was reported. He has subsequently clarified that he was actually referring to the personal relationship, or rather to his counterpart, the actual person, the foreign affairs minister in China, as the elder brother, as opposed to the countries as a whole. Nevertheless, this has prompted a whole round of feedback and has people wondering, I guess, about how this might affect our relationship with other countries and allies. So that's what we're going to be exploring. Before that, though, we've been asking you what your thoughts are on this, and more specifically, whether or not you consider this just a storm in a teacup or a huge faux pas. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Before we get to our next guest, a quick look at some of the messages that are coming in, because there's quite a number.
So a variety of things that have come through. We have this from Hazman, who says, funny how the same parties that label DAP as communists, and here they're claiming that China is our big brother. And I think this speaks to a larger sentiment of context, right? Because Hishamuddin famously is, has not in the past has made remarks that could be construed as being in this vein. Mm. And now to be the same person who calls the Chinese foreign minister an elder brother, I think that's where a lot of this resentment is coming from. And I think it goes back to this idea of these things don't exist. Yes, storm in the teacup, maybe, but these things don't exist in a vacuum. We have Kevin saying, at least we now know how quickly we'll bend over if China ever decides to occupy the surrounding territories.
And that's actually a set of messages. So I think that we can broadly say that the messages coming in are divided into people who are concerned about the statement and concerned about the perceived power that it gives another country over us, and others who are perhaps more aligned with the idea that, well, you know, it is either... Okay. Let's get to the actual messages and you'll see. So aside from Kevin, we also have Dinakaran, who says his personal thoughts, affairs or loyalties should be kept off air. It's not wise to publicly make these sorts of statements as if we are, down on our knees. Fez says, would Singapore or the Indonesian foreign minister call China's foreign minister a big brother? I believe no. It is a reflection of one's sovereignty and pride. And now we come to the contrasting points of view.
Mm-hmm. So we have Goh Kim Hock saying China is a superpower, nothing wrong with respecting them. And then we have Tan Han Hui, who says Asia countries' foreign ministers can communicate using the Asian style. It's common for Asians to call each other brother or sister, regardless of political stance or religious beliefs. Asians have to stop kowtowing to Western standards or norms. Be a proud Asian and don't be shackled by Western standards.
So I don't know if this is so much to do with Western standards as it is to do with general ideas of foreign diplomacy protocol. I'm no expert. I've never been an ambassador to a nation. But I think judging from the reaction, there seems to be very set protocols and understandings of how to behave. And that's probably more where this is coming from, as opposed to, necessarily how Asians address one another versus how folks from the West address one another. I think that these are kind of separate issues.
But that said, we do have this from YP Lam, who kind of echoes that as well. He's saying this is clearly a Western narrative rather than an ASEAN perspective, let alone being a Malaysian narrative.
Mm. And I think that that is a very... That happens a lot, I think, when talking about China and when discussing Asian ascendancy as a whole, actually. There is this pushback. And I think it's a very understandable thing to say, well, you know, do we really always have to hew to stand to norms that have been set by the West? And I can understand that pushback, especially because we are seeing China rise very, very rapidly in the world superpower ranks. But again, I think... that I don't know. I don't necessarily think it's always helpful to leap immediately to looking at things through either being a Western narrative or an Asian narrative. I think sometimes that there can be a middle point from which to look at things. That may be naive, but that tends to be where I stand.
Well, speaking of that middle point, I think though that some of this language are things that we all understand. So Madi Maniam, for instance, says when anyone mentions Big Brother in an official position, it means that Big Brother is in a controlling position, meaning you are being watched. So I think that question of authority doesn't necessarily have to be a Western narrative. And then, of course, we just have, as we've been saying, people who think that most of this is just a big fuss over a fairly small thing. Maggie says, either way, I feel that the subsequent carrying on doesn't help things. I think we should all stop politicizing the issue, or we make ourselves the April Fools for 2021.
A tying together of all our stories this evening, that one. Let us know what you think. Is this Big Brother statement just a storm in a teacup? Is it a political faux pas? And also generally, you know, I guess, how do you feel about China's rise and China's relationship with us at the moment and how that's changed? After this, we are going to be speaking with Bun Nagara from ISIS to talk more specifically about how something like this might impact our relationships with other countries. If you have questions or thoughts on that, do send them our way. That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:45 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We are talking today about Malaysia's relationship with China, whether that's shifted any due to recent statements, and also how that might then in turn affect our relationship with other nations. If you'd like to weigh in, that number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us on the line now, Bun Nagara, Senior Fellow at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies, or ISIS. Bun, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
So broadly speaking, how does Malaysia's relationship with China determine our ongoing relationships with other countries?
Well, Malaysia, I think like most other countries, establishes relations with other countries on its own merits without particular reference to any third country. So the bottom line for Malaysia, as for many other countries, is that we would like to be friends and trade and partners with every other country that wants to do so with us. And, you know, no other third or fourth country should, you know, get in the way. And they don't. As a rule, you know, Malaysia is an independent country and a non-aligned country, which means that we set our own policies, both domestic and foreign. And we do what's best for us and our partners. So it is really up to Malaysian policymakers to have whatever relations with other countries as is best for Malaysia.
Now, to look at the other major superpower, which is the US, how does the perception of aligning ourselves with China, how could this potentially impact our relationship with the United States?
Well, we are not exactly aligning ourselves with any country, certainly not aligning against any other country. So, as I said before, we would like to be friends and partners with all countries. So it's not a matter of either or, either this country or the other country, but more a case of both and, in fact, with all. So there is really no contradiction. So the more friends and partners that you have, the more Malaysia's interests can be served better. And I think other countries understand that.
There is no serious pressure on Malaysia or any other ASEAN country, as far as I can see, to realign themselves, with any country. So the whole idea of having a country de-align, just like a decouple from another country, is ridiculous. It doesn't work in the modern world. In today's world, countries are free to have whatever relations they wish to have with whichever country that serves their interests and the interests of the other country. So it's not a matter of, you can either have this or that, but not both. No, we have both, more than two.
Mm. And for context then, how has we've seen both the United States and China exerting a fair amount of, investment influence into our region over the last decade, longer than that even. And how has that changed relationships within our region?
It hasn't. In fact, Malaysia, before that, Malaya, and even going before that, the sovereign Malay sultanates, Malay states on the peninsula, have always conducted foreign relations as they see fit. So this is basically one of the fundamental principles of sovereignty. You make your own policies, and you are also free to change them if necessary. And obviously, the two major powers, the US and China, would like to have more influence in this region. And it's up to countries like Malaysia in this region to manage that kind of a situation without necessarily falling foul of the other. Remember also that Malaysia is a founding member of ASEAN. And, ASEAN itself collectively is de facto a non-aligned group. In fact, all 10 member countries of ASEAN are individually members of the non-aligned movement as well. And, you may say some of them may individually be slightly more aligned to one of the major powers than rather than the other. But that's a relative thing because there is no, strictly speaking, no serious alignment with one country against another, because we cannot afford that. We cannot afford to be against anything or big power or big country or big economy. Therefore, we want to open our economy and, our relations with all.
Now, let's look at one of the big things that's happening in the region now, which is the Myanmar coup, right?
Yes.
What do you make of China's push for ASEAN mediation when it comes to Myanmar?
Well, a very interesting and important development recently is the China statement that it is willing and happy to work with us address the Myanmar crisis. And this is very important because although many other countries, especially major Western countries and everyone else, are critical of the situation in Myanmar, they cannot do anything about it. That's the bottom line. But ASEAN is concerned, and Myanmar is a member country. Myanmar is a member of ASEAN, obviously, and it's up to ASEAN to do something. And China is also regarded as the most influential country in Myanmar. And yet, Myanmar does not necessarily respond to ASEAN, as we've seen in the past, but I think can respond to moves by China. At the same time, China cannot be seen to be moving too much on its own on Myanmar because it does not believe in in the internal affairs of another country. But China and ASEAN working together, I think, may produce a solution to try to at least pacify the situation in Myanmar, to at least, say, stop the violence and the killing, which is very one-sided against groups of armed and trained police and military against unarmed civilians. So I think this is something which is worth looking into and which I will have to look carefully at how it develops.
One of the key diplomacy issues involving China in the region, actually, and this predates what we were just talking about, is the South China Sea dispute. Could you tell us more about that?
Well, it's a long and complex affair. And, main thing is there are six countries or entities claiming territories in the South China Sea. And some say seven, including Indonesia and the Natunas for the south. But there has been this intractable situation where there is no real solution. And, countries, notably China in recent years, building military relations on those some of those features or islands, and so has Vietnam and some other ASEAN countries. But I think the main thing is to ensure that it's security and safety for all countries, as well as all the country participants that fly the sea. That means we must have an agreed code of practice. This is called a code of conduct, which is being negotiated between ASEAN and China. Previously, we had the declaration of the code of conduct and you know, the DOC. Now we're working a more clear and concrete version, hopefully, called the Code of Conduct, or COC. So this is something that will still take some time, probably. But I think we need that, because it covers a lot of issues such as, you know, safety, search and rescue, and so on, humanitarian actions, without intervening into the claims or legitimacy of certain national claims over others. I think an agreed practice needs to be in place as soon as possible.
So, moving forward, what are some of the what are some key things to look out for when it comes to how the relationship between Malaysia and China will evolve?
I think this is something that's been growing for a long time, and as I said, you know, going back to the early Malay Sultanates on the peninsula, to Malaya and then Malaysia. And when it comes to more current events like the pandemic, COVID-19, the supply of vaccines, the relationship has been growing for a number of reasons, and you know, based around a number of events. And this is something which we have to develop in the mutual interests of both countries. But traditionally and historically, until now, it has largely been economic in nature. So political issues are interesting and important, but not as much as the economic relations, the trade and investment, and so on. And even the strategic issues, like the disputed claims in the South China Sea, these will go on. Unlikely to see any early resolution, but still relatively minor in relation to the other issues, where relations are positive on both sides.
Boon, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening.
Thank you.
That was Boon Negara, Senior Fellow at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies, talking to us about China's influence and relationships within the region and how that might impact the way in which we in ASEAN relate to one another, as well as to other nations, other superpowers. And we've been asking you for your thoughts. We have other messages that have come in.
So we have, let's see, we have Bob saying the Big Brother statement reflects the relatively weak position that we are in as a result of the neglect of our economy, governance and defense. No other ASEAN nation would countenance such statements, nor would they tolerate encroachment into our territories without making a statement. It's funny how we're so emboldened to make statements against the West, but whimper when it comes to when it involves a non-democratic superpower.
Actually, I think, Bob, you know, firstly, that's a really interesting comment. And also, I think it reflects the balancing act that a lot of countries in the region have to enact when it comes to China. Because if you look at the stronger stance that countries like, for example, Vietnam, in some instances take when it comes to the EEZ in the waters, when it comes to the South China Sea, it does not, in fact, stop Vietnam from doing business with China. So I think, you know, in general, when it comes to the ways in which countries relate to China as a whole and balancing the sort of security measures that need to be considered along with the investments, the economy, this seems to be a balance that many, many countries here are, and around the world are trying to strike.
Yes, and I think also this again, I think some of the context of this is dissatisfaction with our government here, which then ends up reflecting on how our leaders then behave with other countries. We have CSMY who says, it's insulting that we as a democracy call a communist country Taiko. If the explanation is that he called the minister that due to his age, I'm expecting him to call Joe Biden father, and then I will believe him.
Well, I mean, that's just sort of a very broad statement. Yeah. But I think that, yeah, whatever, again, it comes down to, I suppose, what we would consider standard protocols and norms and whether or not that was met in this area. And something that our guest, Dr. Mustafa Izzuddin, highlighted earlier is that it does make a difference. Even if it doesn't make a difference in terms of how we feel, it does make a difference in terms of what was said, whether or not it was in reference to China, the country, China, the entity, mm-hmm. or the foreign minister as a person.
Yeah, and I do think that by and large, I don't think this was a thought out diplomatic stand.
No,
I think it was just a remark that he made.
Yeah, but it gave us a good opportunity nonetheless to talk about China, and you know, and to talk about how we relate to China fundamentally, whether it's in terms of trade, the economy, diplomacy. If you'd like to weigh in, keep those messages coming. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. You've been listening to Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.